podcasts. It's like radio, but it's not on the radio.
Hogan Johns.
We will be perfect.
Obsession.
In every aspect of the game.
Being obsessed.
It's third down and goal. And Trubisky rolls. And it is a touchdown. Anthony Miller, his seventh touchdown of the year.
WGN Radio's very own Adam Ho.
Viet Cong. There's no S. It's already plural. You wouldn't say Chinese.
And the Chicago Sun-Times, Adam Johns.
I know who I am. I'm a plain dude disguised as another dude.
Bring you Chicago's best Bears coverage.
Yes! And out into the end zone. A touchdown, Chicago Bears. And is it intercepted? I believe it's takeaway time for the Chicago defense. And that is Danny Trevathan.
Obsession.
My oh my!
Being obsessed.
And now,
time,
here they are.
Perfection.
The Adams.
Yeah, baby.
Hogan Johns.
I'm leaving you people.
What do you mean, you people?
What do you mean, you people?
What's up? Welcome in. Hogan Johns, episode 207. Hope everybody had a great Christmas, a great week with your family. A little bit of a delayed episode here as we get back at it on a busy week filled with...
Christmas cheer.
Yeah. Something
there
like,
you go.
Something like that. Something's been going around. Whew.
Yeah. Yeah. Nasty, ain't it? You haven't even experienced the worst of it yet, my friend.
No, I think I'm on the backside. I think you had it worse. Mine's just lasting longer. I don't know what's been going on all week, but whatever. I'm over it. I'm back. We're ready to do a podcast. And there's a meaningful football to play in Week 17, which is really what matters most here. We're not talking about draft picks and who's going to be the next head coach of the Chicago Bears.
We're not rushing back to Chicago from Minnesota. We've done twice for John Fox and Mark Trestman to see when and if they will be fired.
No, we're not doing special episodes on Gidget the Monkey. Remember Gidget the Monkey?
Oh, how soon we forget.
Yeah.
How soon we forget.
Things are a lot different this week, and it's a good thing. Follow us on Twitter, at Adam Hogue, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S, our producer, Joe Romano, at Joey Joe Rowe, our engineer, Ernie Scatton, who does those great opens for you guys. And you can read us at WGNradio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Please search Hogan Johns on Apple Podcasts, Google Play. Tune in wherever you listen to your podcasts. It's there. Please subscribe. Please rate and review it. We appreciate you doing that. We don't have Joe with us today because we're kind of recording remotely. But
where are you now?
Back in Wisconsin, about headed home for like less than 24 hours, and then headed to San Diego for the Holiday Bowl.
Man, your travels from Wisconsin to Minneapolis to Wisconsin to San Diego.
Yeah, a little too much. I'm not going to lie. Especially
it's
when I
nice
have...
It's a nice finishing spot, though.
Yeah. Well, except for the fact that the game is being played in Minnesota, where I just was. How about we start there? I can give you the pulse of Minneapolis since I was just up in that region.
How are they feeling?
I mean, they're not feeling great. It's been a disappointing season for them, and even though they can get into the playoffs with a win on Sunday, they're, everyone's down on the team. Nobody likes Kirk Cousins, it seems like. I mean, everybody just views that as a complete failure.
And this is kind of a defining game for him, I would say, and he has not won big games. He is not. We know his record's not good in primetime, specifically Monday night. Now, I know it's not a night game. I know it's not a primetime game, but there's going to be a lot of people watching. There's going to be a lot of pressure on him to beat a very good Bears defense. And I think it opens the door for the Bears, even though they're not favored.
You think it does? I mean, I think that's why the let's start there. That's where the line has been getting a lot of Bears fans angry this week, which I get it. I mean, it came out at 6.5, Vikings favored. Bears clearly the better team overall. Now it's down at 4.5, and that's where we'll pick the game today. But, you know, I tend to get it. It's desperation time for the Vikings. They're back home, and that's a tough place to play. They absolutely need to have this one. While the Bears are going there to win, and Matt Nagy's made that very clear this week, there's a little bit of a different It's not win or go home. It's not like it will be next week if these teams play each other again at Soldier Field. And it's a home game for the Vikings. So I'm not surprised that the Vikings are favored, to be honest with you. I'm a little surprised it came out at 6.5, considering the Bears have played, you know, all these games close this year. And 4.5 still seems like a little bit too much, but okay. I understand the dynamics of this game and why it's being viewed in the way it is.
Yeah, seeding isn't much to play for. Yeah, obviously, the Bears' only hope is the 49ers' upset of the Rams. And, you know, I partially think it can happen. I thought the 49ers were kind of impressive last week. I think Nick Mullins can play. The 49ers have played better over the past few weeks. They have beaten the Seahawks, who are in the playoffs. So there is some hope there. Pat Finley and I got into a pretty lively discussion in one of our little Bears Be Live videos on Periscope. He wants them to rest the starters, pull the starters at some point. And I get that thinking, you know, like what if the Rams are in his scenario, what if the Rams are up 20 points? I mean, well, what is the ideal lead by the Rams to when you go into halftime and you see it in terms of your decision making? Like, well, how far ahead do the Rams have to be in order for you to consider putting in Chase Daniel and others if you're the Bears?
Man, I would almost want to wait longer. I mean, unless it's like what the Bears were doing to the Bucks earlier this year at halftime.
Yeah, a complete throttling.
Yeah, because it's still the NFL and crazy things happen.
And here's another scenario I laid off to him. What if you go in there and you see the Rams are up 14? Okay, maybe if it's 10, it's a close game, and Nick Mullins is playing well. And you also see the Eagles are up on the Redskins, and you have a chance to take out a divisional rival and eliminate them from playoffs contention. What do you do? Do you go for the kill?
If it's that scenario, I'm more... If it's just a matter of eliminating the Vikings, I'm less concerned about that. I think it's a bigger deal to get that first round bye.
I don't know. I'm torn on the mindset you should have, the BU mantra, the be aggressive ways of Matt Nagy. If you're going to live and die by that, and I know the Bears aren't going to die in this and have at least one more game remaining, but playing the Vikings three times in a year just sets up for craziness. I don't care what happened in the first two games. You know each other too well. Odd things can happen even though you're the better team. If you have a chance to take the Vikings out of playoff contention, I think you do it.
Yeah, and that's why I think just if you add up everything, I mean, we're talking about very specific circumstances and definitely looking at scoreboards, which I'm not sure is the greatest idea. I just think it's you're not locked in a spot, and there's something to play for. So it's the NFL. You go in and you play your starters, and you try to win the game. I mean, this is not the third preseason game when they were playing the Chiefs earlier this year, and you could understand the logic of what Matt Nagy was doing by sitting everybody. I mean, this is still an NFL regular season game, and I agree with them. Unless you're locked in the one seed and nothing can change, then you can't do this like kind of half-ass, yeah, we're going there to win, but you know, it's okay if we don't. I mean, you got to have the mentality.
Absolutely.
You got to have the this is too hard of a game, and it's too physical, and mindsets are so important. You have to psych yourself up to play every single game. So you can't – you're either all in or you're not, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's why I like it. It's been business as usual as far as my understanding here at Hal's Hall, and it's how it should be. You play your starters. I think it's actually made Matt Nagy's decision almost easier that they have something to still kind of play for if that's seeding, and it's whether or not it's hoping for a 49ers upset. But again, his whole approach to this week tells me that Trubisky's going to play nearly a full game. The only time I would pull Trubisky, to be honest with you, is if the game seems in hand, like whether or not the Vikings are up big late in the third quarter or the Bears are up big. I'd even play out that scenario. If the Bears are up 14 points going into the fourth quarter, I actually may consider pulling Trubisky.
14 points going into the fourth quarter.
Yes, yes. Trust your defense. Make sure your quarterback doesn't get hurt.
I don't know. That's still not a lot in the NFL. But I see where you're going. Here's where I think – and I hope this doesn't sound hypocritical because this is a different situation than healthy players. I mean, when we're talking about Allen Robinson's ribs or Eddie Jackson's ankle or Aaron Lynch's elbow, I mean, that's different to me. It makes sense to sit those guys if there's any doubt at all about them getting hurt any worse. And I'd be surprised if Jackson and Lynch play. Robinson seems to be a little bit more 50-50 at this point, but if there's any doubt whatsoever, I would sit him too.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see Eddie Jackson or Aaron Lynch. I'd be shocked if they even practice today. You should see the brace that Aaron Lynch has on his arm, Adam. It looks like the Winter Soldier character from those Captain America movies. It just looks like a robotic arm attached to him now. It's massive. Again, you and I were amazed that he's still around. How is his elbow still attached? I don't know, but it's quite miraculous. It's a Christmas miracle, Adam, that he's still here and, you know, potentially going to be active for the playoffs. But, yeah, in terms of Allen Robinson, I think for sure you're going to see the safer-than-sorry approach with your number one wide receiver. Too valuable. He gutted out that win against the 49ers. He was still one of their best players. I wouldn't rush him back if he's still got the ice packs on his ribs.
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing where he's too valuable. You have to have him for the playoffs next week. And, you know, I got to be honest, I'm not too worried about this idea of playing. I'd be more worried about playing the Vikings a third time if the Bears, coming off a win. So if the Bears beat the Vikings and the Eagles still lose, which is unlikely, so the Vikings still get in. Now you're playing them for the third time. If the Bears lose on Sunday to the Vikings, I feel like, all right, now it's the rubber match, and now the better team's at home, and you go out there, and the better team's going to end up winning. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I know what you're saying. I just feel like all the conversations that we're having that up at Hallis Hall, they just completely – they don't. You know, I know maybe some, you know, look at the advanced scouting that they do, that they may think that the, I don't know, the Seahawks or the Eagles are a better matchup, or they like their chances of, you know, ruffling Kirk Cousins' feathers or something like that. I mean, that's what they do. It's what the advanced scouting is. But if you're the coaches, you're going to play who you play. And yeah, there's something about playing a team three times in a year, especially a divisional rival. That to me, being of Hallis Hall would just freak me out, especially if you're making your first playoff appearance in 8 years.
All right.
Win or lose on Sunday. Win or lose on Sunday. That's how I would feel.
All right. So those are the kind of the circumstances of the game. We'll preview it in a second. We don't want to forget, and I almost did for a second, this is what happens when we don't have Joe with us. We do have our voicemails from Sunday's game against the 49ers, a little bit of a Christmas flavor in here. So let's go ahead and hear those before we jump into previewing and making our picks for Bears-Vikings. Here's your voicemails from Sunday's win against the 49ers.
Hello?
Do you know who this is?
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
Hogan John's voicemail.
The Hogan John's voicemail line.
Believe it or not, George isn't at home. Please leave a message at the beep.
Got any questions or comments about the Bears? Give the guys a call before, after, or even during the game. 312-222-5050.
Go Bears!
Peter from Addison, Illinois. My little cousin from Greece is here, and he has something to say. I'll translate.
Yes, Mr. Hogan John's podcast.
He said all he wants for Christmas is to be on the Hogan John's podcast.
Bear down.
This is Brandon from Connecticut, and I wanted to thank Ryan Pace for putting Matt Nagy and Khalil Mack under my Christmas tree. Merry Bearmas. Bear down.
Chris in Lockport. I would just like to say tear down, and maybe the Bears can play a playoff road game this season without giving me a heart attack. Or just any road game. It doesn't matter. Just need it.
Poggy Cat, John Z. Bib, Jiminy Chickadee Joe Roll, Bob Dabrowski here, calling from Santa Clara in the heart of Silicon Valley. I'm surrounded by nerds. But don't worry, guys. Coach Nagy is here. He's going to show the world that the Bears, they don't lose focus. He's going to take the Bears. They're going to go out there 49-0. Maybe that's even just in the first half. Okay, Merry Christmas. Go Bears. Happy holidays. Bear down. All right.
Brian from Wisconsin. How about that Montezuma missile? Let's make that stick. Bear down.
This is Joe from the Bronx, talking to Joey Joe Rowe, Johns and Holt. Oh, you foolish boys, I've seen it all before. The year was 2006, Rex Grossman was quarterback, Ryan Urlacher was running this country, and Lovie Smith was in the White House. Bunch of folks started talking about a Super Bowl, kind of like right effing now. If you guys don't see the parallels between this season and that season, I don't know what else to do. Bear down, guys.
Jerlene from Lakeview. I just saw that late hit by the 49ers on Trubisky, and I saw the entire defense get up off the bench to come and support him. This is a different team. I love it. This is the year. Super Bear, Super Bowl, let's go.
Jeffrey Franklin from Lamont. The Bears' offense looked good. The Bears' defense looked good, but the Bears looked bad. Bear down. Let's take the W. On to next week.
Papa Hogue here from Buffalo Grove, but calling from Madison today. Last week you had a caller mention how great it was to watch the game with his firstborn. I had the same experience today. It was a lot of fun. Bear down.
Micah from Tampa, Florida. Bear down. Let's go. Chicago Bears next week beat Minnesota so we don't have to play them in the playoffs. Let's go. Bear down.
Mike from the wrong side of the cheese curtain. The Bears notched a rare win in San Fran. Badass D blasted young Shanahan. And while Mitch sang Mariah, Don Vick was the Messiah. Part wise guy, but forever wise man.
Wow.
Is that your dad?
That was actually my dad.
That's nice.
That was nice. Yeah, we had to go find a Buffalo Wild Wings to watch the Bears game on Sunday.
Hey, you can always count on B-Dubs.
I didn't make the trip to San Francisco and was up in... So obviously, if I wasn't working in San Francisco, I was going to be with family in Wisconsin, and then realized, hey, the game's not on in Wisconsin. Don't have an NFL Sunday ticket where I was at, so he had to go find a place to watch it.
Get some spicy garlic wings. I gotcha. That's nice.
See, I think... And maybe I shouldn't say this since we already named the joint, but I think that may have been what caused this whole thing the whole week.
The spicy garlic wings?
I just went Buffalo, but ever since that meal, it's not been good.
Okay. We had a bad Buffalo Wild Wings experience on the way to Detroit this year for the Thanksgiving game.
Really?
Pat Finley, Kevin Fishbane, and Jeff Dickerson and I took forever at them. I'm not talking about like 30 minutes. It took an hour to get some buffalo wings in that joint.
Yeah, we were having that problem on Sunday too. What's up with that?
Yeah, it should be your specialty.
I thought the wings should come out in like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
All right. Also, some Greek in there like that, and some. We always encourage the rhyming. That's good. That's good stuff.
Yes.
All right.
And our guy in Santa Clara, surrounded by the nerds.
By the nerds.
The nerds.
Uh huh. All right.
He made me chuckle, our friend.
All right, good stuff there from our voicemail line.
Nerds!
one more shot to get in the regular season this week, and then I'm sure the voicemail line will just take off in the playoffs. It is a well-established fact now that the voicemailers turn up for the Packers weeks. That's by far every Packer game, the thing gets full or almost full. And then there was we still had plenty against the 49ers, but Joe was telling me that like it was cut in half at least.
Yeah.
So
really?
Yeah. I mean, people like playing the Packers. It's fine. It's good.
Okay.
It's a rivalry.
Okay.
It's a rivalry. Obviously, we still had plenty. And if not, we can always have Papa Hogue call in.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. Well, this week should be full of them. You know, you got the Vikings. You got the playoffs coming. Be a big week.
It is a big week. Let's jump right into it right now. Bears at Vikings, 4.5-point line. Vikings are favored 325 Sunday on Fox. This game was flexed to the late afternoon window so that all the meaningful games are all getting played at the same time, which makes a lot of sense. And a great U.S. Bank Stadium. What a great venue. up there in Minneapolis, and a loud venue as well. It should be a tough place for the Bears to play this week. And my big question, Johns, as we jump into this, is just will the Bears match the Vikings' desperation for four full quarters? Because, you know, that's really what it's going to take to win this game, I think. And the Vikings is just sort of inherently there. They have to win. They have to play as hard as they can for four quarters. And for the Bears, I know that's been the mindset all week. We're going there to win the game. That's what Matt Nagy's been saying. I'm sure the players will do everything they can to win, but there's still just sort of that human nature aspect of, if we don't, it's not the end of the world.
Right, right. So my biggest question kind of goes off something that Vic Fangio said yesterday. He was asked to describe what it's like preparing players for the playoffs who haven't played in the playoffs before. And he generally said that the start of the game is when you feel like this playoff rush, and you feel like the stakes are higher, and there seems to be a lot of wildness to it in terms of emotions, maybe some crazy plays, just a lot of things going on early in the game, and then things settle down. And it's, can you survive those early moments and get to the point where you're just playing football again, right? I kind of view that the same way, kind of in a lesser extent, but the Vikings, to use a cliche, they're going to come out swinging, right? They're going to hit the Bears square in the chin, and how are the Bears going to handle that? I think it falls in their leaders, guys like Khalil Mack, guys like Akeem Hicks, guys like Danny Trevathan, and even Mitchell Trubisky. How do they respond and get everybody rallied after the Vikings come out hot? I'm expecting the Vikings to come out very hot. So what does the Bears leadership core, how do they respond? How do they get everybody going in response to that?
I'm having a tough time figuring out the Vikings. Remember I said last week on the podcast, I was fascinated to see against the Lions how, like what they did the week before against the Dolphins, how for real that was. So they changed their offensive coordinator. Kevin Stefanski takes over for John DeFilippo, and they have this huge offensive explosion 2 weeks ago at home against the Dolphins. Okay, can they carry that on the road against the Lions? And they ended up putting up 27 points, and it looked good. It was a nice 27-9 victory. It looked comfortable, but you know, while I was sitting there in that Buffalo Wild Wings the other day,
waiting for your wings,
they were kind of sleepwalking through the first half, it seemed like. Then they get that Hail Mary to Kyle Rudolph, and boy, do the Lions love giving up Hail Marys, right? And all of a sudden, that seemed to spark them the rest of the game, but I didn't. But did it really spark them? I mean, they only, didn't that put them up 14-9, so they only put up 13 points the rest of the game. It just, I don't know if I'm totally believing what they did against the Lions will translate against this Bears defense. Of course, the question is, you know, does that, it goes back to my big question, how does that Bears defense match that intensity for four quarters?
Yeah, look, the Lions are garbage. They're hot garbage.
Yeah.
They are. Did you hear? Speaking of Matt Patricia and the Lions, right? The Fighting Patricias, as we called them last week. Did you hear the question that was asked to him in the press conference this week?
I did not.
So apparently he's been late to every single media session this year for the Lions.
Wow.
Right? So obviously he had to run in with Mike Rothstein about, you know, posture and sitting up straight and respecting the process. So Mike Rothstein this week goes, how important is punctuality to you? That's where the Lions are at, my friend.
That's where
the Lions are at. Meanwhile, in Chicago, I mean, Matt Nagy was close to winning the Media Good Guy Award. I mean, how about that? So different cultures. There's a backbone here with the Bears, and everybody's worried about the Lions' posture, per se, up there. I think it's almost been forgotten. How about this, Adam? Do you know the Bears are 8-1? In like the last nine games,
yeah,
and that one loss was on the road against the Giants, who happened to be not that bad of a team, and with Chase Daniel as your quarterback, and it came in overtime in a pretty crazy game. So the Bears are good. They got some type of mojo going here, I would say.
Yeah, they're very close to being on a 9-game winning streak, playing for a 10-game win streak on Sunday, which, you know, is pretty incredible to think about. We should give Prince Mukamara a shout out for winning the Media Good Guy Award this year. He that goes to the player that basically you know, gives them the most time and makes the most effort to help the media do their jobs, you know, essentially thoughtfully answering questions and making the time to always be available for questions. And I actually voted for Matt Nagy myself because I feel like the way he's gotten up there and answered our questions on a daily basis all year is, at least in my position, helped me the most this season. But I certainly, there's a number of guys who are worthy of winning, and Prince Amukamara was one of those guys, and he ends up winning the award. So congratulations to him.
Oh, I found it tough to actually narrow it down. Nagy, of course, Mitch Trubisky, Akeem Hicks, Danny Trevathan, Allen Robinson. Even a guy like Kyle Fuller, who doesn't say much, he's been available to anybody who wants to talk to him every single day.
Yeah, he has.
Jordan Howard's been better. It's a different culture, and obviously winning helps, but I think you really take on the persona of your head coach sometimes, and I think it's pretty obvious with the Bears.
Yeah, no, and technically that streak that we had going for years of players winning this award and then being on a different team ended. Because Zach Miller won it last year, and he's still on the team, but he hasn't played.
Yes. So, but I think it speaks to our selection. We know good guys when we see them, Adam.
Yeah. Well, then John Fox would just ship them out of town if they were nice to the media.
Yes.
No, that's not what was happening. That's a joke. All right, let's go.
Or is it?
Bold predictions.
All right. I got a bold one for you. By the way, I got mine last week, Anthony Miller touchdown.
He did, yeah.
My bold prediction, Bears fans aren't going to like it. It's not a positive one. I think the Bears only score one touchdown in this game.
Okay.
That's my bold prediction.
You're not going to give us the player? You mean you got Anthony Miller, right?
No, I don't. I'm saying they're only going to score one touchdown. Seems pretty bold to me.
No, okay. Well, they only scored two against the 49ers, so way to go out on the limb there, Adam. I know what you're saying. You're expecting a kind of a defensive shutdown by the Vikings. Can I give my bold prediction with the prediction?
Sure, if you would like to.
Okay. Hit the button. Right. Did we hit the button?
Predictions.
There we go. The Bears are going to win.
Okay.
Is that bold? Nobody picked them in the paper except me.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
I think everybody's just kind of writing this game off for the Bears.
We should let everyone know that you were extremely wrong the last time these two teams played.
Yes, I was. but, okay, you're throwing me off my thought process here. I got them 23-20, maybe even a Cody Parkey game-winning field goal. How about that?
That would be bold.
Yes.
Right. How worried are you about the Cody Parkey situation?
Yeah, I'm extremely worried. I felt like pressing Chris Tabor on it a little bit. He had answered two questions about him yesterday, but I'm like, hey, like, I think he's missed six or seven, Chris. Like, do you have to have extra conversations with him? What's going on? And then he gave like a good, well thought out, long answer on a situation with Parkey. But look, the Bears have no other choice at this point, and really never had another choice this season, and just in terms of the money you're paying the guy, you have to trust him. And I don't know what's going on. Maybe he just needs to get to next season and regroup. You know, he's got the big contract. He's got all these expectations. Maybe he just needs to reset his mind. But the Bears have big games ahead of them, Adam. This is kind of one of them. And then you got the playoffs. Cody Parkey needs to be better. I don't trust him right now.
Let me paint you a kind of crazy hypothetical to get your answer. Let's say these struggles continue, and it potentially costs them a playoff game. Season potentially ends because these kicker problems still go. Well, you have a kicker by the name of Robbie Gould who's a free agent.
Who's that?
What do you mean, who's that? Robbie Gould?
Yeah. I'm kidding. The guy with a 97% success rate?
Yeah, the guy who doesn't miss. At a position that you have a pretty damn good team that you thought you could have won the Super Bowl and you didn't. Do you go just eat the $3.5 million guaranteed you still owe Cody Parkey? Just go out and sign the guy that still beloved in this city and could pretty much fix your problems?
Yes. If he blows it for you in the postseason?
If it's that bad, yeah.
Yeah. If you have questions in terms of where he's at mentally, then yeah, you just swallow the money and it is what it is at that point. Maybe Robbie Gould gives you a hometown discount and it's not that bad. Salary cap's going up, what, 10 or 12 million or something like that? So you can make it work. You can. You've still got Trubisky in his rookie contract. Do it. You're talking about losing points and losing games because you're a kicker.
I just think, you know, last week this was sort of starting to enter my brain, and I was like, I can't really see it happening. Parkey's owed $3.5 million, and then he goes out and misses another kick, and it's just like, if this continues in the playoffs, I don't know how you can stick with them. Despite the money. And then you got a guy there who still lives in Chicago that's, you know, I don't know. That's getting off on a tangent.
And you know what? It's not like the Bears and Gold leave on rocky terms. Well, kind of, with certain people who aren't here anymore.
Exactly. I don't think it's a problem with Ryan Pace.
No, it's not. It was with I don't want to name it, the other guys that aren't here anymore. And, yeah, I think Pace and a Nagy combination can, if there's any things that need to be smoothed over there, I think both those guys can handle it. Obviously, Gold would love to return home and finish his career here. I mean, this is home. He's raising his family here. So if that's your hypothetical and it plays out that way, Cody Parkey potentially costs the Bears a playoff game, like the NFC Championship or something like that, and you got questions about his mentality next year, yeah. Yeah, bring in the best Bears kicker of all time.
Yeah, and he's 36, right? I mean, he could still kick for another 5-6 years. He's a kicker.
Yeah. And to his credit, I mean, Gold came out and said, like, last week that, look, I get why they cut me. I wasn't good at that point. Obviously, starting anew has helped him. But, yeah, to answer a problem, and if Robbie's it, I think you do it if your hypothetical plays out that way.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's something to keep an eye on going forward because that kicker thing is maybe at the top of concerns right now, if not, you know, just near the top. I mean, it should be up there. It's a problem. All right. I'll give you my prediction. I already said the Bears will only score one touchdown. Now, a couple interesting things. I was going through, you know, just kind of looking back on the season and some of the results. It dawned on me that this is, in my opinion, easily the toughest road test of the entire season for the Bears. The only other game you can compare to this would be at Lambeau Field in Week 1, but it turned out the Packers weren't that good. Now, circumstances at the time, it was loud, it was the opener, and the Bears handled that well early in the game, but they did lose that game. You look at the other road games the Bears have played this year, I mean, they haven't played a winning. They still have not. They have no road games against a team currently with a winning record. Do you realize that?
Yeah, but they still got a winning record now on the road, do they not? 4-3.
No, they do. But the point is, it's not like they've had a really, really, really hard road test yet.
Yeah. No, I hear you. This will be the loudest, rowdiest building they go into with more at stake than anything. It's a playoff game for the Vikings. Well, yeah. Let's be honest. The environment is going to be, I mean, we think it's loud there, Adam, in a Week 17 game with John Fox about to get fired.
Yeah. Now, on the flip side here, you look at the games the Bears have lost this year. They've given up at least 24 points in all of them, and in three of them, they gave up at least 30. So the games they've lost is because the defense has slipped up and allowed points. All right? I'm predicting a lower scoring game. To their credit, they have found ways to win all of those grinded out type games. I mean, I think you could even maybe throw in the Seahawks game into that conversation. Definitely that game in Arizona when they were down 14-0 and won 16-14. You had maybe you put the Vikings game in that category. Bears were in control that entire time, though. But definitely the game against the Rams, which was 15-6. And last week against the 49ers, 14-9. So in low-scoring games where the defense has played well, the Bears have found ways to win. I think that's an important, a very important reality that even if they end up losing this game on Sunday, will carry over as a good thing in the playoffs, that they have managed to grind out games in the fourth quarter and come up with plays when they needed to. That being said, I just think the circumstances of this specific game, it being on the road, in a tough environment, I think it is a slower grinded out type game. And I do think the Vikings come up on top because when it matters most in the fourth quarter, they're just going to have more on the line and it's going to mean a little bit more to them. So the Vikings 17, Bears 10 is my score.
In reality, your bold prediction is a winning performance from Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, in some ways, because...
Do you feel better about your prediction now?
not really, because Kirk Cousins hasn't been able to do that, but...
Yeah, I like Kirk Cousins. I'll be honest, I love the move the Vikings made this year, but all the critics, they're kind of becoming right. He puts up good numbers, but... It's making the big plays when you need to. There's something there. Everybody needs to see a little bit more out of Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, I still think he's man. This guy's name comes up a lot in our podcast, going all the way back to season one. He's just a good quarterback. He's not great. He's not bad either. And honestly, I think he's getting a little bit too much criticism in Minnesota right now. Like, what were your other options? This made the most sense. Unless you're going to take a big gamble with Teddy Bridgewater, which maybe in hindsight you should have kept him around. I don't know. But you had a team that seemed to be on the cusp of winning a Super Bowl, and you needed an upgraded quarterback. And he is an upgrade over Case Keenum. He just is. Watch the games. He's better than Case Keenum. But this problem where he can't win the big games, I get it. He's still been... I was reading one of the columns in Minnesota the other day, and they said he's been good to above average for the entire. I mean, good to above average. Is that you could do a lot worse in the NFL?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, we know. We know well, people, what below average quarterback play looks like. It made too much sense. You know, a lot of it's look. Maybe Flip was the wrong play caller. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, the guy did not have much experience calling plays or. Proven experience, successful experience, before he got the promotion going from the Eagles to the Vikings. You got new receivers to throw to. There is an adjustment. I mean, maybe Kirk Cousins is outstanding next year with those receivers and a healthy Dalvin Cook for a full 16 games and a better coaching philosophy starting with his offensive coordinator. So you never know. People always want immediate results and refuse to acknowledge all the time it takes to get those results. But you're right. Kirk Cousins been a law around. These aren't new concerns for Kirk Cousins.
All right, here's your listener prop bet for the week. How many times, I'm going to need your help setting the over-under, though, but this is what we're doing. How many times do they show, should we do the Eagles score or the Rams score?
Why can't they do both?
Okay.
You don't think they'll have like a, I mean, there's plenty of room on a TV screen.
They'll probably do
combo
both.
Combo it.
All right, how many times do they show the scores from the other games? I'm going to set it at 10.5.
Yeah, I was going to say high. I was going to say 8.5. You're thinking at least once or twice per quarter. So if you're saying 10.5, I'm going to go under. I think you get at least once or twice per quarter.
Okay.
I mean, you're going to – you know what, though? Maybe over because one of those will be like a highlight.
Yeah, they're going to do highlights. Just any references to other scores, either the Eagles or Rams.
Okay, then over. Any reference, over.
Yeah, I'm going to say over, too. I'm going to say over, too. As they should. Speaking of that, let's get to the other games that we need to keep an eye on this week. We even got some college games, some good ones, too. College football playoff going down on Saturday. But we'll start in Los Angeles, the 49ers at the Rams, 9.5-point favorites. The Rams are... at home against 49ers, 3:25 Sunday on Fox. Todd Gurley's status still kind of in doubt, right?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to play. So as I said or screamed into my phone in our Uber ride in Santa Clara, I was impressed by Nick Mullins, and I think Nick Mullins is going to play well against the Rams, even against Aaron Donald. He stood in there and made big throws with Khalil Mack coming his way, and I think he'll do the same. I think the Rams will win, but the 49ers, they'll cover and they'll keep that game close just because they're going to play loose. They have nothing to play for. That underdog upset role, ruin your season type of role. They seem to want to embrace it and play it well.
Yeah, I took the Cardinals against the Rams last week, that big 14-point spread, and I regretted that. Rams obviously crushed them without Todd Gurley. By the way, thanks to Todd Gurley for sitting out my championship game. I lost by 100.
Thanks, Todd.
Yeah, thanks, Todd. I could have used you because you would have scored 100, obviously. Obviously, I'm being sarcastic. He wouldn't have made a difference, and I lost by 100. Literally 100 points.
Who did you play?
In my apparently the greatest fantasy team of all time.
Peyton Manning throwing to Randy Moss.
I mean, oh my God. Yeah, lost by 100 points in my fantasy championship. That made it easier to stomach the fact that I played John Kelly over C.J. Anderson, because Anderson scored all the points that Todd Gurley would have scored, and I didn't play. I just screwed the whole thing up. But it didn't make a difference because, again, I lost by 100. meanwhile, I'm going to take the 49ers, too, here. I think I got the feeling, talking to Kyle Shanahan and Robbie Gould last week, getting ready for that game against the Bears, that they do feel like they're on the cusp of doing some better things next year. I know they felt the same way last year, but they lost Jimmy Garoppolo. That makes a big difference, and they've had a ton of injuries. They're still battling through those things. I you know, encouraging signs from the 49ers. I think they play this game close. I still think the Rams are going to be able to pull it out in the end, but I have the 49ers covering the 9.5.
Just don't flop it out there and expect to perform like that.
Meanwhile, Philadelphia, the Eagles have to go to Washington. Eagles are a 6.5-point road favorite. 3:25 Sunday on Fox. Another meaningful game. That's when all these games are being played, at 3:25. What do you think is going to go down in this one? The game that the Vikings fans are going to have their eyes on the entire time.
Who's playing quarterback for the Redskins these days? I don't even know.
Josh Johnson.
Oh.
It's been pretty decent, too.
Yeah, okay. You could say that.
So, he was actually the number one pick in that AAFL thing that's going to start in a couple months or whatever.
Oh, good for him.
And so now, but now that team is wondering if he's going to show up, because now he's playing for Washington and playing decently, like they might keep him.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Well, good for Josh Johnson. Did I say his name right? Anyway. Eagles, man, fly, Eagles, fly. They're hot. I know everybody's kind of worried about them come the postseason. I would still have my concerns at that point about them and what they are. Nick Foles is magic. You would think would run out at some point, although that didn't happen last year. But in terms of this year, yeah, give me the Eagles, even covering. It's going to set up that kill situation for the Bears in Minneapolis.
The kill situation, like this?
We're going to be simple. We're going to play fast. We're going to play hard. We're going to kill it, okay? This is a great acronym, you guys, right? Kill it. Keep it likable and learnable.
Kill it. That's what they're going to do, I guess. All right.
We're going to have a chance to eliminate the Vikings.
Yeah, I am. All right. Let's see, moving. Oh, I'm taking the Eagles, too. Very simple. They're better, and the Redskins are... they're pretty much dead, as they should be. All right, how about this? We're picking a Browns game, but it matters. But the Browns are—they got a chance to finish above 500.
How do you not keep Greg Williams as your coach?
They might have to.
Yeah, I don't think John Dorsey wants to do it, but I understand he's interviewed a couple guys already, right?
Well, I'll give you one reason: if Lincoln Riley wants to come up from Oklahoma, you make that hire.
Yeah. Okay. I get you. But something's working with Mayfield. There's a connection being there. And I love how he stares down Hugh Jackson. I love it. I love everything about it. But the Ravens are good. They got a defense not as good as the Bears, but up there in certain rankings with the Bears. I'm going to pick the Browns. This is what I want to happen. I want the Browns to win, so I'm going to pick them.
Oh, my God.
will it into existence.
You stole my upset special of the week.
Yeah?
I'm rooting for chaos on Sunday, and I think this is one of the games where we might get some chaos. There's something – you're right. I mean, the Browns, they could be a team, like a lot of teams like we just talked about with Washington, probably folding up the tents, can't wait to get to the golf course. The Browns are not that way right now, and Baker Mayfield is fun to watch. I think they go in there, and obviously the Ravens have a really good defense, in it, but their offense is just eh. This is going to be a tight game. I think the 6 points is too much, and I'm with you. I think the Browns may come out with the straight-up upset here. And pull it out, which would definitely create some chaos. But I'm going to go Browns too.
One more thought on them. Nobody's really talking about the Browns defense, which is pretty darn good too, going up against Lamar Jackson, who is still learning to be a quarterback, right? Give me the Browns defense as having an advantage in that situation.
All right. Well, yeah, all these games being played at 325. Hope you have the red zone package if you're paying attention to this stuff.
This package just continues to grow and grow, Joe.
The Bengals at Steelers. So if that theory of the Browns winning comes true, the Steelers, well, they have to win. They should win. Cincinnati, I'd put them in the category of teams that is, you know, giving up on the year. Again, 325 Sunday on CBS here. The question is, will the Steelers cover 14.5? That's a huge number.
Yes, Steelers will win. I don't think they're going to cover that spread. They're just erratic. They seem to shoot themselves in the foot a lot. They'll make bad plays, but they're the better team. It's not going to look pretty at sometimes, but the Bengals are garbage. Just fire your coach already.
Yeah, he'll probably get a 5-year extension, though. meanwhile, if the Steelers don't make the playoffs, you never know in the NFL. Do they get crazy and fire Mike Tomlin? Because I'll tell you what, if they did, if I'm the Green Bay Packers, I hire him the next day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He would hold number 12 accountable. That's for sure.
Yeah, I'm...
Although, I don't know. Well, at least he has experience in terms of handling. Look, Big Ben's not at the level of Aaron Rodgers, but he's got 2 Super Bowls. He's a proven quarterback. At least he has experience in handling such a situation, such a play.
I hate this number. I would stay away from this game. I kind of feel like the Steelers are going to cover it, but I'm just going to stick to my rule of that's way too many points in the NFL. So I'll take the Bengals covering. Steelers win, though. As we move ahead to Sunday night.
Do your research.
Colts, Titans, the one win and get in game between these two teams. This is a playoff game. Titans, 3.5-point underdogs at home against Andrew Luck and the Colts, 7:20 Sunday on NBC. This should be a fun game.
Just in general, I don't know how I feel about either of these teams. Some days, some weeks, they look very impressive and you like them. Other weeks, I mean, didn't the Jaguars just like shut out the Colts not too long ago? I don't know what to make of these two teams, to be honest with you. Obviously, there's playoff implications here, but I like the Titans overall. I don't know if they'll cover the 3.5 points, or they're getting 3.5, right? So yeah. Give me the Titans. Never mind. Give me the Titans.
Yeah, I'm taking the Titans too, mainly because they're getting the 3.5, but I actually think they'll win outright too. They're at home. They played well in some big windows. Remember, they went into Dallas and beat the Cowboys. I think both of these coaches, Mike Vrabel and Frank Reich, have done a really good job this year. You know, the Colts are coming. They're coming hard. If Andrew Luck's healthy, Chris Ballard's done a tremendous job drafting there over the last couple seasons, and they've done a tremendous job to turning around that offensive line. Quentin Nelson's a beast. So even if they don't get in, the Colts are going to be a factor here very, very soon, and probably as soon as next year. And I'll tell you what, either of these teams, I wouldn't really want to play them in the playoffs. I'm not saying either one wins, but I think they'll both be tough outs. So, and let's not forget, the Titans won a playoff game last year.
Against who?
I believe that would be Matt Nagy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Officially Andy Reid.
I believe Matt Nagy.
Okay. All right, let's continue this love fest.
Wait a minute, that's not the right button. We got college games to pick. All right, the college football playoff gets underway Saturday. I don't like when these games aren't on New Year's Day, but oh well.
Well, you got the playoffs. They're a little bit different, right?
Yeah. It's fine. They start 3 o'clock Saturday, 3 o'clock Central Time on ESPN, starting with the Cotton Bowl in Dallas, Texas. You got number 3 Notre Dame versus number 2 Clemson. Clemson a 12.5-point favorite in this game, but going to be without big Dexter Lawrence. Failed the drug test. Notre Dame's got to feel disrespected. Do you think they have a chance?
Yeah, I do. I feel like they're always It's kind of odd to call Notre Dame like an underdog. I feel like they've been an underdog despite their success when it comes to like big marquee games over the past several years. They always have draftable guys. We just talked about Quentin Nelson. We just saw Mike McGlinchey. I mean, they produce NFL players. I mean, Julian Love, the local kid from Nazareth, just got a second-round pick, and he's a starting cornerback at Notre Dame, second-round grade. So I say all that, and I still don't think they're going to win. Clemson is just – they've really built themselves a powerhouse down there, Trevor Lawrence. Their quarterback has been really, really good. But I'll say this, Notre Dame will keep this close, they'll keep this interesting, and they'll cover that 12.5.
I think they will too, and they've been hearing all about it. They're, I believe, 0-5 in BCS bowl games / college football playoff bowl games. They haven't been able to win the big game. They got blown out by Alabama in the national championship. So there's just a lot on the bulletin board, right, to motivate them. Not that they need it. I saw them in person against Northwestern. They're a good team. Ian Book is good. So I think they keep this close, but ultimately I just think Clemson has a little bit too much firepower, and I will pick the Tigers to win the game. Notre Dame covers.
No.
All right, Mike Lennon disagrees. The Orange Bowl.
He's actually been playing football lately. Do you know that?
He's actually been playing football.
Yes, yes, yes. Saying, taking his snaps again in the NFL, Adam. How soon we forget ye, Mike Glennon.
No.
Okay.
The Orange Bowl. Oklahoma, number 4. Number 1, Alabama. Bama favored by 14 points. 7 o'clock Saturday on ESPN. You know, if you turn on ESPN for 5 seconds, you know all about the fact that Tua Tagovailoa is injured. And he's got that ankle, and they won't stop talking about it. And he's clearly going to be fine for Saturday, but they want to make sure that he might not be okay. Do you think so? So then you tune in just to see how he's doing. I think he's fine. I think he plays. I think Alabama rolls Oklahoma because Oklahoma's defense is terrible. And Bama wins, covers the 14.
Yeah, it's what we've been picking all year. How do you pick against Bama? Did you see that one clip? This is what I've been thinking about when you were talking there. The one clip of the Alabama player was asked to talk about Kyler Murray, and he was about to call him like any other quarterback then, but then he caught himself. It's like the Nick Saban, the mini Nick Saban in his head just like kicked him around and said, "What are you doing, kid?"
Yeah.
And he caught himself.
Yeah, it's like Guardian Angel on his shoulder, Nick Saban.
Yeah. The answer is like, "Nah, I'm good."
Yeah.
It was funny.
That was funny.
But yes, Bama's good. They're the best team. They've been unstoppable. Yeah, you had injury concerns there, your quarterback. But look, he's fine. They're going to win big.
Yeah, look, it's just a matter of I just don't see how Oklahoma's going to slow down Alabama. And I think Oklahoma, Kyler Murray is good. They'll find a way to score some points. But just as this game goes along, it's just going to be one of those slow things where the lead just keeps building and building and building. I just, the 14, give me Alabama all the way. All right, so that's the college football playoff. We'll move ahead to Monday night, the Holiday Bowl. That's where I'll be. San Diego, number 22, Northwestern, number 17, Utah. The Utes favored by 7. Again, how many games have we picked this year with Northwestern where they're a touchdown underdog or more against a team that I think they're better than?
It's the same here. Yeah.
It happens all the time. But here they are, 6 o'clock Monday on FS1 is where you can find that game, or on WGN Radio.
You would know better than me, Adam, but I think Fitz loves the disrespect sometimes. Yes, yes. Just plays into their whole mantra, this whole underdog lifestyle they got going there. Yeah, give me the Cats. Go Cats. Covering, winning, everything. They're going to beat the Utes.
Yeah, I think they definitely cover. They've been good in bowl games the last couple of years, and Clayton Thorson's playing. It'll be his last game. I think they come out. Utah is down to their backup quarterback. They've got some big injuries. I think they still kind of going through some last minute. Yeah, we still got four days or so, but they lost their wide receiver, kick returner. They got some injuries. I'm taking Northwestern, and I do think they win outright as well. So
go Cats.
Be a good Monday night game. You know, Monday night football. So watch or listen to the Holiday Bowl. How about that?
Yes, yes. And you know what? I do like how Northwestern's become the team of the Bears Beat Media Corps. It has.
Kind of has taken over.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In terms of rooting interest that the Media Corps has developed, we're all in the Go Cats bandwagon.
Go Cats. We should add that to the soundboard.
Go Cats.
Get a little Go Cat action from Fitz. All right. Well, yeah, I'm headed there tomorrow with the team's already there, but the rest of us are headed there tomorrow. Yeah, nice little.
Have fun in San Diego, my friend.
I think the forecasted high in Minneapolis tomorrow, the last time I checked, was 13 degrees, buddy.
I heard a snowstorm just hit, too.
Yeah, we got some snow the other night, but then it was like raining. I think it all melted, at least in Minneapolis. They got pounded north of there, though. That's where I think the giant snow hit. But you should be all right.
Okay.
Just have a drink for me in the Minneapolis Marriott, will you?
I'm actually not staying there for the first time.
What?
Yeah. We're at one of the Marriott boutique hotels right down the street. The autograph collection. Gotta get fancy here, Adam.
Yeah, that's just a bad decision, though.
This is a playoff team. We're not going up there to cover John Fox's firing anymore.
Yeah, you actually have to work a little bit, huh?
Yeah.
All right, yeah, it is different. How many coaches have been fired up there with their last game in Minnesota? Hey, here's an idea, NFL. How about a September game in Minnesota? Huh?
Yeah. I take a November game.
Maybe we could sneak in a Twins game at the same time? Anything? No, it's got to be New Year's in Minnesota. Oh, yeah, that's right. I'll be in San Diego. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. Podcast over.
Follow us on Twitter at Adam Hoge, H-O-G-E, at Adam Johns, J-A-H-N-S. Joe Romano at Joey Joe Rowe. Read us at WGNRadio.com/Bears, ChicagoSunTimes.com. Please rate and review the podcast. Search Hoge and Johns wherever you listen to your podcast. We appreciate you listening. Any final thoughts, Adam?
No. Safe travels, my friend. And go for the kill. Bears, go for the kill.
It'll be Adam Johns and Mark Carmen after the game on Sunday. This situation with the Holiday Bowl, I can't do it. So I'm taking Sunday off. It'll be you and Mark Carmen. Carmen will do a good job filling in. Those guys will talk to you after the game Sunday, and then it's on to the playoffs next week. Back to a normal schedule. Talk to you Sunday after the game.
Adam Johns!